small boy was playing baseball in a field, and he held his glove in a very awkward angle. In fact, it seemed very unnatural, and when someone came up to and asked him, "Well, why do you choose to hold your hand in such a strange angle?" he said, "I hold it that way because my hero holds it that way." See, there was a professional baseball player who held his glove at a very unusual angle. So this little boy wanted to do it exactly like his hero. Who do you follow? Who's your example? Who do you watch and then pattern your life after so that you can be like him? I hope it's Jesus, because our topic today is Jesus, our great example on Truth for the World.
The Churches of Christ bring you Truth for the World. And now, Paul Meacham, Jr.
Thank you for joining us today on Truth for the World. We hope that you make it a regular practice of studying God's Word together with us on a weekly basis. If you do, that's good. And we hope that you will be studying your Bible in between so that you'll study each and every day to know what God would have you to do in order to be pleasing to Him. We're on our fourth and final lesson in the series entitled Jesus, Our Great Example. And He truly is our great example. We've looked at a number of different things as we've gone through this study. We first noticed what an example is when the Bible talks about an example. Later on then, we noticed that Jesus is the perfect example to children. And this applies to each one of us, whether we're young or old. We're children in one sense or another if we're the children of the Father in heaven. We also notice Jesus is the perfect example to a husband. Even though he had no earthly wife, we know that his relationship with the church is very similar to that of the relationship between a husband and a wife. We then noticed last week that Jesus is a perfect example to a teacher. We talked about the fact that a teacher, if he follows Jesus' example, will glorify God in his teaching. That he will manifest God's name before men, not his own. That he will carry the Father's message, not a message of his own device. That he will pray for those whom he teaches. We also notice that just as Jesus finished the work that the Father gave him to do, we, not only teaching, but in all areas of life, must be diligent. We must work to finish the work that the Father has given us. We then notice that Jesus is a perfect example to us in prayer. Although he came from heaven and was God in the flesh, he felt a tremendous need to speak with the Father in heaven regularly, and did so. And by giving us that example, shows us that we should indeed pray always. As well as prayer, we looked at Jesus as our example of compassion. For no one could love more than he loved, and no one demonstrated it more vividly than did Jesus. He was our example of compassion in the way that he cared for people. And we wrapped up our study last week by noticing the fact that it is his compassion that brought him to this earth to save our sins. It's the compassion of the Father, the love of the Father, that sent the Son to die for me. Jesus is our example in so many things, and truly, our example in compassion. This week now, we want to look at a couple of new areas. First of all, we want to notice that Jesus is our example of service. He's our example of what it means to be a servant. Now, we think of Jesus in many roles, but we don't often pay attention to the fact that the Bible portrays him as a servant. We think of him as a ruler, as a leader, as a king, as a redeemer. But as a servant? Is that consistent with being God? Well, yes, it is. In fact, in John chapter 13, if you'll notice verses 15 and 16, we read, "For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than he that sent him." Now, what does that have to do with living a life of service? Well, it's very important that we realize what happened in John chapter 13 just before Jesus said those words. Jesus had draped himself with a towel, and he knelt before his disciples, and he washed their feet. Why is that important? The job of washing the feet was usually a task that was assigned to the lowest of all the household servants. It was considered a very dirty and low job. As you lived your life as a servant and would come to a higher standing in the household, that's a task that would be assigned to someone else. But when Jesus wanted to teach an example of service to his disciples, he chose the dirtiest, lowliest job that he could possibly choose. He bowed before them and washed their feet. Remember, he said, "I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Now, some have misunderstood this verse, and some have come to understand this to mean that we, as a religious act, as part of a religious ceremony or service, should wash another's feet. That's not what Jesus was teaching. Rather, verse 16 there shows us that Jesus was teaching a life of service. He specified, "If you're going to be my servant, you can't think of yourself more highly than I am. If I'm going to send you out, you can't think of yourself as having a better standing than I have. And I came to serve." This is shown to us very clearly in Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 25. Please turn over there and read with me. "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus said, if you want to be great, be a servant. The one among you who should be held in the highest esteem is the one who ministers to the other, the one who serves the other. Why? Because he had given us an example. Even as I came not to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus is the perfect example of service. The very fact that he came here to give his life for us shows tremendous service to us. And we should follow that example. Jesus gave up heaven. That right there shows us the degree to which he was willing to serve us. Oh, he didn't just bow before his apostles on his knees physically. He removed himself willingly from heaven and brought himself to the cross for my sins. He served me to that degree. Notice, if you would, the words from Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. And rather than reading from the King James as I normally do, we'll read these words from the American Standard Version of 1901. "Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's another way of saying, follow the example of Jesus. An example of what? "Who," this being Jesus, "existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, yea, the death of the cross." You see, Jesus left heaven not to rule, but to serve. He left heaven not to conquer, but to humble himself. Jesus came to serve me and to serve all mankind, even with his very death, in order that I could have a home in heaven in the end. Remember what those opening words to Philippians 2 and verse 5 were? Have this mind in you. Be like Christ. Follow the example of Jesus. If we do follow His example, we have no choice but to be a servant. He was a servant. And if we're going to be like Him, we have to be people of service. This is not a life of power. Living the Christian life is not a power of dominating those around you. It's a life of serving those around you. And we need to understand that at the beginning and live that life of service willingly, as our Lord did. Finally then, Jesus is to us a great example in suffering. There will come a time when those who are faithful to the Lord will live in a glorious place called heaven, and we will not have suffering to deal with. But until that time comes, every single one of us, no matter whether we're white or black or brown or yellow, no matter what country we live in, we will all have suffering to deal with. How we deal with it makes the difference. Jesus has provided for us the wonderful example of how we should deal with suffering. And we're going to look specifically at how we should deal with things when we are treated unfairly. We'll take our text from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Please turn there in your Bible as we'll read these verses, and there are quite a few of them to read. 1 Peter 2, verses 18 through 23. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thanksworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is accepted with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Now let's stop right there for a moment. He says, what are we going to do if we are buffeted for the things that we do wrong and we accept that punishment? That doesn't mean anything. The real test is, what do we do when we are treated unfairly? The answer? Follow the example of Christ. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The answers for us are very clear from this text. What do we do? How do we take suffering that comes to us unfairly? When someone treats us badly and unfairly, how do we react? First of all, verse 22 of this passage teaches us that we should not sin. The fact that we've been treated unfairly does not give us a license to do wrong, but we must still watch very carefully our steps to be sure that we do not commit sin, even though we've been treated badly. Secondly, watch your tongue. Be careful what you say with your mouth. Jesus was very careful about what he said. That's the example to us. There was no guile found in his mouth. Oftentimes, when we are treated badly, especially when we are treated unfairly, we are very quick to say something that we will later regret. It may take the form of profanity, the taking of God's name in vain. It may simply be a matter of speaking harshly and out of anger toward those who are treating us unfairly. We've got to be very careful that we watch what we say if we're going to follow Jesus' example in how to handle suffering. Then we're told that we're not to revile again. What this means to us is that even when those around us might strike out against us, we should not strike out against them, whether physically or verbally. Fourthly, do not threaten. It is very common, especially when we're treated unfairly, for us to say, oh, you just wait. There is going to come a time and I'll get you back. We need to be careful not to be that kind of person. Jesus was not that kind of person. Was there any person who was treated more unfairly than our Lord? No. He was arrested for a crime he did not commit. He was tried by the Jews in violation of the Jews' own law as to how a trial was to be conducted. When nothing could be found against him, he was turned over to the Romans, even though the Jews had not found anything wrong. The Romans then tried him and found him to be innocent. At which point, because of the political pressure of the Jewish people, he was turned over to be crucified anyway. Even though tried twice, once illegally, and found innocent both times, he was going to be killed. I don't know how unfairly you may have been treated in life, but I know you have not been treated more unfairly than was our Lord. And He is our example as to how to react when we suffer because of that unfair treatment. Why was He able to do all of this? Why was He able to withstand and act like He was supposed to act, even in the face of terrible suffering? The answer comes to us in verse 23. Because we see there that we are like He, to trust in God to deal righteously. We are to put our faith in God to avenge us. That we are to rely on God and His judgment, perfect judgment, righteous judgment, to deal with those who have treated us unfairly. If we have that trust in God to deal with the situation righteously, then we won't try to strike out on our own. We won't do something on our own that we will later be ashamed of, and that can be held against us. Jesus is our perfect example. He is our perfect example in every area of life. Whether being a child, being a teacher, being one who prays, being a person of compassion, being a husband of a wife and the father of a home. Whether it's in suffering or service. He is in every area our great example. And I pray that we would all follow Him as diligently as possible. You can't follow Jesus if you don't know where He's gone, though. It's not possible to follow the trail of one if we cannot find the trail. And you will not be able to find the trail that Jesus walked unless you find it through this book, the Bible. Till next time, this is Paul Meacham, reminding you that God's Word is the truth for the world.